take up your mat and walk. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!
Well, good evening, friends, and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you once again as we continue our series, Believe My Words. I'm standing here in a dark parking lot tonight, and as I do, you know, one of the things you notice in a dark parking lot is where the light's coming from. For example, the light over there is out, the one over there is on, and the ones behind me are on, and so you notice those sorts of things. If I were standing here during the day, I wouldn't think about where the light was coming from more than likely. It'd be coming from the sun, but I wouldn't think about it. I'd just take it for granted. The parking lot's lit, the buildings are lit, the road's lit. It's all there. Light just is there. We feel oriented. Jesus tonight, as he talks to the Pharisees further, as we've been exploring Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees, he's talking about what they're taking for granted, the presence of God's glory, and how they've become misdirected. Sort of like if I had never seen night, and so here I am in this parking lot, and I look at it and say, it's middle of the day, this parking lot must self-illuminate. I can see perfectly clearly. Well, why did they even put up light lampposts? Because it's bright. Well, the Pharisees were wondering why they needed to listen to Jesus. And they're benefiting from God's glory. Everybody alive benefits from God's glory. But the question is, are we depending on God's glory, or are we just sort of absorbing it? Let's pray tonight that we're not. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Would you help us to be people who don't just sort of accumulate some of your light because it's out there, but we know where it's coming from, and we turn our focus towards you and you alone. But we pray for your grace. We pray for your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our natural human inclination is sort of like the person who thinks this parking lot is self-lit. We seek glory from each other, and it's almost as if humans can actually provide that glory. It seems in the middle of the day like this parking lot's lit. And it seems like when we praise each other, when we say nice things or look up to each other, that we're providing glory, that we're providing the meaning that's needed. But Jesus in John 5, starting at verse 41, recognizes that as the Pharisees do that, they're demonstrating how they're really missing the point. Take a look with me if you would. John 5, 41. Jesus says, I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. What's Jesus referring to there? Well, the Pharisees received plenty of teachers who came in their own name with their own credentials. They looked important. And they provide glory to the Pharisees. So they had earthly glory, and they provide earthly glory. And because of that, the Pharisees were okay with it. They were comfortable with it. But Jesus didn't come to butter up the Pharisees to talk about how great they were. In fact, he pointed out where they were unfaithful to God. And he didn't come with an impressive worldly credential. He came with the only credential that really matters. He came from God. He, in fact, is God. But that didn't fit with their whole understanding of the world. And so while the human impulse is to seek glory from each other, he wasn't providing any of that. And so, and it's there in the English, it's clear in the Greek. Jesus says here in verse 42, he says, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. What it says in Greek is, I know you. You don't have the love of God in you. So it's not just that Jesus knows something about them. He knows them. He knows their impulses. He knows where they're looking for glory from. And he says, it's not the right place. Here's the other thing he knows because of that. And then he says that in verse 43. He knows that the next time someone comes with an impressive credential, maybe a flashier presentation, they'll chase after that guy instead. Even if they saw Jesus' miracles and they said, these are really impressive in the moment, there'd be a time they weren't impressive. Something else was more impressive to them. Not because anyone could truly be more impressive than Jesus, but because our human minds wander to and fro, and we chase after different things. I've seen a lot of people lately posting different things online that say, if your church doesn't say, and you can fill in the blank, leave it and go to a different church. And it's kind of an interesting test in what we prioritize. Because for the most part, when I read that statement and read what it says, if your church didn't say this, even if we say it here at Little Hills, I'd say it's not really something that needs to be said. It isn't a must have. What we really should be looking for is, if your church doesn't preach about Jesus and Him alone, the one, the only one who can save us, that grace from our God is the only thing that will save us, that we can't be righteous on our own. If that's not what you're hearing, yeah, you should leave that church. But if it doesn't catch the latest trend, if it doesn't say things exactly the way some celebrity thinks that it should be said, talked a little bit about that last night, don't leave. Wherever you are, we need to know what's really important. You see, all those things that we usually put in that blank, those are things that are human glory, right? If they don't mention this really important pastor or leader, if they don't do this or that, we're talking about human glory, the things that we can build up on our own and recognize on our own. But what we're looking for is that church glorifying God? And we as a body of believers, we should ask ourselves, are we glorifying God? In any way that we're not, we should constantly want to be refined and be more like our God. But also, we should keep that as the standard. That's the thing that marks a good church from a bad church, preaching God's word. Not all the noises of the world that come to and fro. Out here in a parking lot, there's lots of things going on. But you know the thing that really matters in a parking lot? Well, for the most part, that you can park in it. And if you want your car to be safe at night, and you want to be safe at night, that there is lighting. It doesn't really matter all that much about all the other things. Likewise, when we're talking about ministry. But the Pharisees, they had other things. They heard the beeps and the bongs and the other things that seemed to be important. They were stylish. They gave the Pharisees themselves a level of importance. And those were the things they wanted to chase after. Jesus says, but if you do that, you'll just always be chasing after something different. Am I following beliefs because other human beings tell me so? I read online, leave this place if it doesn't do this, sort of in that blank. Do I read God's word and say it has to mean this because someone's told me so? Or am I seeking to find out what the truth is, and I'm digging into that, and that's what I believe, and that's what I want? So if it's what God says, that's what I want. Now, I think probably most of us here, if not all of us here, would say, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I need. We have to remember the Pharisees would say the same thing. They didn't say, well, we want to follow the traditions of man. We don't want to follow God. No, they misunderstood what was from God. That's why it's so important we keep coming back to God's word and asking what it says, and asking our God to refine us in understanding it. Because as we do, God refines us to seek not human glory from each other that we can provide, but rather God's glory. Back to verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Jesus is really clear there, isn't he? You can't receive what God's doing. You're seeking glory from someplace else. Now, we do it imperfectly, and that's the example I provided earlier, right? I'm not saying everyone that says the church needs to do this, the church needs to do that, isn't really receiving glory from God because they're seeking after that kingdom glory. But we do it in little ways, and those little ways actually obscure the ability to receive God's glory for people that may not even believe yet, because we're saying what really matters is this, and the thing that really matters is Jesus. The thing that really mattered for the people surrounding Jesus in that moment was the one that they were surrounding, but they were so focused on these other forms of glory and how to reach them, they couldn't see it. His glory, well, it's not human glory. It's not fitting the mold of what they were thinking, and so they weren't sure they wanted it. And that's unfortunate, because it was from God, unlike what they were seeking. Now, so often today, we do become about credentials, and not just the formal diploma-type credentials, but the different things we can put and say, this is what brings glory. And whatever it is, you've been in the church long enough, you've seen those things change. What matters changes over time. What matters in the 21st century is different than the 20th century, is different than the 19th century. If we're chasing after human glory, different than the first century, where the Pharisees were looking at the very Son of God, not some celebrity pastor, not someone with a clever new way to preach, but God himself there to redeem them. And because they were chasing after that momentary present glory, they couldn't see it. It's not that Jesus didn't preach in a way they could understand. We should continue to try to figure out how we as Christians speak into our current moment. That's a good thing. But we shouldn't confuse that with what really matters. It's going to pass away. If we're chasing after human things, it will pass away. Perhaps there's no greater example of that in our current world than if you follow the story of what happens with the most powerful man in the world, the President of the United States. I'm not talking just about our current president, but any president of the United States. It's conventional wisdom at this point that as the president fundraises to build his presidential library, he needs to do it while he is still in office. Well, why is that? He has plenty of other things to deal with. Well, it's because just like the tow truck comes and goes and tows things away, so too the president, his importance gets towed away when he goes out of office. Yeah, people want to know what a former president has to say, and he might have connections with movers and shakers. But I read a number of things in recent months where people aren't even sure if President Biden's presidential library will ever be built. Why? Because of his situation, having to step down and not continue his reelection campaign and so on. There's far less interest in going ahead and donating to the cause, because most people that might have donated to the cause don't really expect he can do anything for them. They don't expect that he has all kinds of key Washington connections at this point, now that he's out of office, that they might get a hold of by donating. That's an extreme example, but any president, well, the further they get away from the office, the more the lights go out. And once the lights go out, people move on to the next thing. They'd rather donate to the guy that's currently in office who might be able to do something for them. And so it happens time and again. Good presidents, bad presidents, in-between presidents, doesn't matter. Here is the one person who has more military power at his command than anyone else in the world, who controls the largest economy in the world, and then he steps out of office. All the people that want to be friends, all the people that want influence with that person, doesn't matter so much anymore. That's an extreme example, but it's the exact sort of thing we see with every human trend. Whatever human trends we decide to get in group with, it's like trying to get in the in-group with a president. And if we think, well, now we have influence, well, we may for a time. It may be that we're soaring high above for a time, but it won't last. Where are we really holding on to? We can seek after that human impulse for glory, and you know what? We'll feel it for a time. Sort of like if you became friends with someone who resides in the Oval Office. You would have influence for a time, and then you wouldn't. You chase after those human trends, you will for a time, but then you won't. The Pharisees, they had influence for a time, and then they died. Had they turned to the glory that really matters? God's glory? Had they turned to the Savior of the world who was in front of them? Well, that determined what really mattered, didn't it? And so too for us. Where are we turning? Our natural impulse is to seek after human glory. need to seek after God's glory. We seek after God's glory, what do we find? That the one who doesn't need to testify to himself because he simply is God, the one who doesn't need human testimony, as we talked about last week, to give him authority, but already has it, he's right there. He offers the only unchanging glory, the glory that's there for you and for me. And tonight, if you haven't yet, you can trust in Jesus and know that glory is there for you. If you have trust in Jesus, you can know that you already have what really matters, what really is important. May we all do that. May we all do that tonight. May we hold on to it every day. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we do pray that you would help us to be those who seek after your glory and yours alone. Yours is the only glory that matters. The rest will fail. The rest will pass away. We pray for your grace. We pray for your forgiveness. Lord, forgive us for those times that we chase after other glory. We don't keep our eyes focused on yours. You are the only one who truly illuminates our lives. May we cling to that illumination. And would you, through your Holy Spirit, give us the strength to do that this day and every day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope this has been an encouragement to you. It's always great to be with you. If it has been an encouragement to you, please give it a like and a share. Every time you hit that share button, it pops up on your feed and it goes out to your friends. You're saying, hey, here's a place where you can come and study God's word. And you know what? Someone's going to read your feed and need to do that. We've actually had people join the church from people doing that. You make a difference when you do that. It's not about building our kingdom, but making sure that people are in some place where they're hearing God's word, because his glory is the glory that doesn't fade, and we can share that with people. So thank you for every time you do that. If there's any way I can be praying for you today, please do text 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. We in the Little Hills Prayer Team would love to pray for you and with you. And let me just mention, I mentioned this at the end of Sunday School Express last night, but I know some of you have been wanting to know. I don't want to be remiss. We do have Betty Blanton's memorial service coming up on Friday. The details will be going on our social media for anyone that is looking for those details, but I wanted to make sure that you had that and were aware of it. So please do be watching. It will be on Friday. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. And I'll see you again very soon.